Modus Critica is intended for mature audiences only. Listener discretion is advised. Last time on Modus Critica. Our unlikely heroes set ambush and completely destroyed a seemingly helpless Naked Safari, Naga Zavari. With Nevlin's Pits of Fury and an added damage bonus, she was no match for our fearless party. I'm certain our benevolent dungeon master won't be making that mistake again. And so our heroes set forth to Thas Yaga to bring Baba Yaga the Heartstones and retrieve the Stone of Power, as per the deal.
Welcome to Modus Critica, a 5th edition actual play D&D podcast. This is episode 12, and we are six starving artists refusing to play wagon wheel while busking on a street corner, even for 50 bucks. And we are looking to role play, roll dice, and roll heads. Those six people are...
Hello, I'm Kyle, and I'll be playing Darius Adolfo, the priest of Mercule who will save or snuff out your life.
Hey, I'm Sid, and I'm playing Gord Godhand, the barbarian paladin of the group, who definitely wouldn't do much for 50 bucks, except for find his family.
Oh, for 50 bucks?
I'll give you 60 bucks to find your family.
Done.
He'd do it for free.
Yeah, no, I just feel bad for you.
Hey, it's Eric. I play Cornelius, a Herengon druid who just... really still doesn't know what's going on and really wants to find his goats. I don't really care about the chicken anymore, but the goats for sure, so I need more cheese.
You're such a fickle animal lover. Don't like your bird anymore?
I love the bird still. I'm just like, I know that it's gonna be fine, and you know what? I probably would have eaten it when it was getting old anyways, you know, circle of life.
I'm Zach. I play Nevlin thrice great. Formerly Nevlin twice great, and before that, Nevlin the Great. For a brief period in between, Nevlin, the 1.5 times as great as he formerly was. I'm a gnome illusionist.
Hey, it's Caitlin. I play Torque Tortellini, and I don't play Wagon Wheel as a full-time musician. I actually am proud to say I don't even think I know the chords to that song, even though I'm pretty sure it's just GCD. But I don't officially know the chords to that song.
G, D, F, A minor, C, A minor, D, C.
Zach has played fucking Wagon Wheel for 50 bucks.
I once played Wagon Wheel for an hour straight in Newfoundland and made $300.
Oh, dude.
That would make sense.
Oh, shit. If anywhere, Newfoundland would be the place. Or down south. Maybe Roanoke.
And I'm Tyrone, and I will be your dungeon master. And I also don't know the chords to Wagon Wheel, but I have been offered 50 bucks to play it, but I refused.
Good for you.
Yeah.
I guess.
It was liberating as hell.
You're 50 bucks poorer, though.
Yeah.
We prefer to call it less rich.
Yeah.
Sorry.
It's not money lost if you don't want it.
That was very philosophical.
Just changed my life.
Last session, you guys completely annihilated me. In every way possible. I don't think I rolled higher than a 3. But Naga Zavari, the strongest of the 3 hags that you were set out to dispatch, so to speak, was annihilated in a hole in the ground. You guys went to sleep. You are currently discussing in the morning over maybe some rabbit stew or something. Oh, sorry, Cornelius.
Yikes. There's a difference between herengons and rabbits, okay?
So you guys are discussing around the fire how you would like to go about approaching Baba Yaga, whether negotiations are in order.
Gord perks up and he goes, so, Baba Yaga, I mean, when we get back to her will probably be around the time of the full moon, yeah?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure, based on the fact that if you look up and see the moon right now, it's almost full.
Why don't you roll me a nature check there, Cornelius?
17, sorry.
You look up to the sky and...
I actually have a little sundial that only works in moonlight.
There you go, that's right. So yeah, you look at your sundial, you look up just quickly to the sky, and you...
Not
you,
a sundial.
I know, but that's what it says in the fucking book.
Oh, and... oh, this is real. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's not just something I pulled out of my ass. It's, okay. I rolled for a Herengon's
trinket.
Roll for like a trinket on a chart. So I did, and that's what I got.
A trinket yeah, on a
so,
chart?
Trinket yeah,
chart.
Trinket on a chart. So you look at your moon dial and you
chart of trinkets.
You hold it up to the moon and you look up to the sky, you look at the stars, you look at the clouds, you lick your finger and put it in the air and you're like, yeah. And then you know that the full moon is about 3 nights away. 2 days travel to Baba Yaga, so that would give you guys a little bit of time to maybe take a rest or something before you actually walk into Thos Yaga through the forest.
We were actually camping out for a night after this brutal slaughter, right?
You do have the benefits of a long rest, so you're all filled up.
I've never made any negotiations with a witch before. I'm hoping that they stay loyal to their word.
That'd be nice.
I perhaps have some experience with dealing in the darker arts, and she sounds like she's sort of part of that vein of personality. So maybe I can do the talking. What do you think?
I think it's a great idea, bud.
Thanks, bud.
Yeah, it's a pretty good idea.
Thanks, Tork.
You be careful with them witches now. You know, most black magicians are gonna keep their word, but you never know when they're looking to strike.
That's a little less assuring, but I appreciate that, Nevlin.
Nevlin, you ever deal with any witches in your time?
I'm more of the cloistered type, you know? Most of my dealings in magic happened in an academy. It wasn't, didn't have much opportunity, but from what I've heard about practitioners of the darker arts, you know, I think as far as making deals, most of us are gonna keep our words. It's the foundations of a healthy relationship, but I don't trust a hag, that's for sure, regardless of her magical aptitudes.
Well, maybe, and I hold out the heart stones, and I say, maybe each of us should wear one of these so that it's not on just one person and they can't just control them.
But, Gord, there's 5 of us.
Oh, I'll take one. I would really like one of those ones, whatever color you think would go with my greenish skin.
They're all black.
Oh.
We'll go good with
I'll
green.
Take the black one.
I think that makes sense for Tork, because, you know, he's very strong for his...
I'm super, super strong. I know I've lost some weight recently, but my strength, oh man, it's better than ever.
I'll give one to you, Tork. Here you go.
Oh man, thanks, buddy. I really appreciate that, Gord.
Yeah, don't screw it up, Tork.
Oh. Do I gotta do something with it?
It might not be a bad idea for me to, study one on our journey. These stones might hold more secrets than we know.
Can anyone replicate items or make
I could paint
anything
it.
Look like? You can paint some rocks, Tork?
Can you actually do that, Tork?
Maybe. Cornelius had a good point. If there's 3 stones but 5 of us, why don't... Three
oh,
of
like
us hold the real stones.
Decoys.
Yes.
Hold the real stones. Yes,
yes. That's exactly what I meant.
Oh, I could get out. I've got a little bit of canvas left. I could paint one, and then we could cut out the canvas, and then put a little bit of twine around it. And Bob's your uncle. It'll look just like it.
No, we just were talking about painting a stone that looks like.
Oh,
it.
This is a great idea.
Wait. What about, like, could you mold earth or anything like that into the shape of the stone and then paint it?
Well, I can't do that.
I
mean,
I
could
paint
it.
It'd be better just to find that rock.
The only problem is that I have watercolor paints, so if it rains, we're screwed.
Mm. Oh.
All the paint would run.
Could we just use charcoal?
Oh, yeah. Or if somebody comes up to us and tries to take it, we could all just say that we have it, and some of us don't actually have it.
Okay, who's good at lying?
I've been known to be honest, but also withholding of information. So I feel like I could hold on to one of the real ones or the fake ones.
I think everybody would they would expect you to have one, Gord, so maybe you shouldn't have one.
That's fair. Cornelius, What do you think? Would you like to hold one?
I mean, if...
I've seen him jump. He's quite quick.
Yeah, I'm good at getting away. I'm not the most dexterous, but I make up for it in awesome, so...
And confidence, I guess.
So we got a fast person?
I'll take it, because I'm going to assume that you, Gord, and Dario are going to be the two kind of heading up.
Yeah, sounds like a plan.
In front of the group. Because, I mean, I know that me and Nevlin are going to have to hold back.
Yeah, I'll back you up, big guy.
But Dario, you're going to do the talking.
Yes, Dario Sadolfo.
Dario, you and me, we'll have some fake ones.
And you should give one to Spud, because nobody would expect him to be carrying one, because he can't really protect it very well. Oh, man. I guess I was trying to be a little bit nicer to you. But it's just kind of a fact. I didn't really mean to offend you.
You know, I can't really put one around my neck.
Oh, yeah, you don't have it. You're all neck.
You know, but I can definitely put one in my rucksack, or I could just
your
squish
what?
It. I could, my rucksack.
Oh, I definitely thought you said something else.
I mean, I could probably just, like, squish it into my fungus.
I was hoping to keep Damon a little bit out of the fray on this one.
But you can just tuck it under your mushroom cap.
Look at Spud right now. Like, who would think that he would have the stone, right?
Exactly.
Big roly-poly.
I'll ask you this, Damon. Does the witch know that you're associated with the queen?
Oh, I don't see why she would. Speaking of which, I actually need to talk to the queen. So I'm gonna go.
How do you do that?
She kind of communicates to me, and she's been poking at me for a bit. So I'm gonna go meditate. Maybe that will open my mind, and she can message me.
Can we listen in?
No. Sorry, I mean, I can tell you what she says, but I need to go meditate and just take a few minutes and try and reach out to her.
Hey, Spud?
Yeah?
When you talk to the queen, did you ever tell her that I was really mean to you?
No.
Okay, great. Have a good meditation. See you later.
Yeah, thanks.
He just kind of squishes off just over to the entrance to the water cave and sits down and just meditates as you guys finish up your conversation.
So we head there with five different stones. Dario, you do the talking. I'll back you up. And just try not to piss her off. If we can get out of here without a fight, that'd be great.
Can you guys just, if you're going to make fake ones, someone roll me a quick survival check on making those out of charcoal?
I'm so good at surviving. Torque rolled a 23.
Yeah, so you guys watched Torque, like, expertly fucking carve this heartstone, a direct replica.
I told you I could do it.
And it looks identical, like, in every way. And Cornelius?
I have a question for the group here. Just let me get into my voice. Okay, so I feel like that it could be a bad idea deceiving her. That might work against us, the more I think about it. I just say that we keep them separated.
We'll see what she says.
I mean, you have a fair point.
I'm just worried if she sees five stones on five people, she's gonna be like, what the hell is this?
We don't gotta wear them out in plain sight.
Cornelius, what was your roll?
Oh, I think 12 when I...
Yeah, yours looks more like a turd, but it's like still half decent.
Thanks.
Hey, listen, like, we got a backup here. We got some fake ones. We got the real ones. I say we don't give her shit. We make her take us to where the stone is kept. We place the stones where they need to go. And, you know, should anybody conveniently try to intervene on our way to Baba Yaga, well, we have the fake ones to at least buy ourselves some time.
That's a good point.
That's a good call.
Okay. I will gladly carry a real one then.
Okay, so Cornelius has got a real one, Torque's got a real one, and Gord, you got a real one as well?
Nevelin's got a real one.
Yeah.
Okay, all right.
Here, Gord, you can have my really, really realistic-looking fake one that I made.
You know what, Torque? This is, I think, the best heartstone I've ever seen. I think it actually
really?
Looks better than the other heartstones, and I had a close-up look of them.
No way. Oh,
I'm really proud of you.
Oh, okay, thank you. He walks away, like, so fast and so embarrassed.
I'm still gonna get him to smoke one day.
And I'm still gonna stop you.
As you guys are starting to, like, you know, shift towards the end of the conversation and laugh and chuckle, Spud comes walking back, and he's like, what's so funny? And you guys kind of chuckle and look at him, and...
Well, how about what is so wordy with the queenie?
Well, I did manage to speak with her for a few moments. The reception was kind of bad, but I mentioned that we had slayed three of the witches of Baba Yaga's coven, and she was quite surprised. But I did tell her that you guys have been heroically battling your way to obtain the Stone of Power, and she was very excited about that. She's very excited about our return with the stone. I told her that we were on our way to negotiate with Baba Yaga, and she said to be very careful, so... That's basically all she said, and she said some other stuff, you know, for me.
Like what? But...
Well, now we can tell you what we were laughing about, you know, this new thing that we're doing. We got a plan, and it's really good.
Well, you can fill me in on the way?
Yeah, we'll fill Sounds you in good. On the way.
And so you guys extinguish the flames of the campfire and pack up your things and head out towards Vas Yaga to meet Baba Yaga?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm going to go ahead and roll for some...
Encounters?
We're gonna roll for some stuff, yeah.
I like this plan, guys. There's nothing that's gonna happen.
Yeah, no, not at all.
That sounds facetious.
We're gonna get there. We're gonna get everything we need, save the world.
You guys are walking the first day, and as you're working your way southeastern through the Mercandraw, you see a lot of rolling in clouds, and there is a massive thunder and lightning storm that rolls right through you. So I'm just going to roll to see. You guys hear lightning, or sorry, you hear thunder, and you see flashes of lightning, but it doesn't come anywhere near you. And you manage to make it the first day, no problem. You guys set up camp, and you make it through the night. The second day, you manage to make it fine. However... As that storm rolls through, you awaken to just overcast, as is the usual in the Mercandraw, and you manage to make it all the way to the outside of Vas Yaga. You set up camp for the second night. You have cleared out of the Mercandraw, but you're still, like, in the south. So do you guys wait until nightfall to head into Vas Yaga, because it'll be the full moon at nightfall? Do you wait?
Yes.
I think going at night would be the best, just in case.
All right, so you guys are going to go at night. So
as you traverse the hard ground of the South Mercandraw, night begins to fall on your face. With the darkness closing in, you notice the clouds begin to part and dissipate, giving way to a radiant moonlight that shines down, illuminating everything in sight. You make your way into the sludgy path that leads into Vas Yaga as your boots begin to slosh with each step, and again, the stillness creates an eerie silence. As you break through the mouth of the trail on the other end, you notice the calmness exists here as well. You do not hear the cackling you did on your last visit, nor do you see the smoke rising from the huts. What smelt of burning flesh and herbs now smells of a damp, stagnant musk. As you approach the first old bridge, you notice Baba Yaga's hut, off in the distance, still as night.
And so at this point, I'm going to need you guys to roll dexterity saving throws as you cross the bridges. There's two of them, so we can do this pretty quick here. So if everyone just wants to go ahead and roll. Twerk, you get a 15, so you're good.
I got a 16.
Dario, you're good.
17.
Gord is good.
It's a 14 for Nevlin.
Nevlin is also good.
That's going to be a 10, and if that's a fail, I'm going to use my lucky footwork. Is it a fail?
It is a fail.
Okay, I'm going to roll a d4. It's now a 12.
Nice. So, yeah, that makes it. That's Woo. The first time I think that's worked out for you. So, yeah, you guys managed to make it across the bridge. Cornelius, as you're going, you stumble as one of the planks breaks under your foot, but you manage to hold onto the ropes and move yourself forward. You guys then come to the second bridge, and I need everyone to make the same check again, please.
Nice. My athletics brings that up to 22. I smash it.
Gord got a dirty 20.
Gord, you're good. Dario, you're good. Torque, you're good.
15.
You're good. Cornelius?
I got a 13.
You guys all managed to make it across the last bridge there. As you approach the hut, it immediately rises on its three chicken legs and extends the stairs just as before.
As the last of the carpet-lined stairs hit the ground with a dull thud, you hear the creak of the door as Baba Yaga appears from the hut. Arm held up over her face, she shields herself from the direct moonlight as she pitifully descends the steps, fragile and shaking. Before you does not stand an elven woman of exceptional beauty, but a lifeless shell of what once was. As she moves her arm higher still, the moonlight reveals a haunting and grotesque visage. Although the elves are said to be immortal, this woman has been subject to the sands of time. A long crooked nose peers out at you from lifeless eyes. Lips so thin and cracked, one would be left wondering if they were there at all. The skin around her face is barely held in place as small blisters and pustules leak fluids that drip at steady intervals. A clump of hair from her head falls to the ground with a wet smack as you notice the dead flesh that fell off with it. As she raises her opposite arm to gesture, you notice the long black nails on cracked hands with sagging skin as thin as parchment, and she pulls a hood over her head as she begins to speak.
They say that those who seek the truth will find it if they look hard enough. And now you see my true self. Tell me, were you seeking the truth, or did you stumble upon my home this night by chance? Have you done what I've asked?
Yes, of course we have. With flying colors. Black, mostly.
So they are dead?
They are dead.
And you have the stones?
Yes.
Well, that's quite a lovely thing, then, is it not?
It is lovely, yes.
I don't know if it is.
I think she wants me to say something, but I don't
know. What was that, dearie?
So now that we have destroyed the coven, you will have these heart stones, I suppose, but we will need the other stone now, as per the agreement.
Power stone.
We have to start writing stuff down.
The power stone, yes.
Well, if you'll come with me, we shall head to the crypt where it is.
And as you guys start walking, you follow her around past her hut, and she looks back at you and she says,
"You know, the stone was found untouched in the south end of the swamp. Leading up to the stone was the same fog that settled into the ground and became the ooze that seems to spread throughout the fey. Have you seen this ooze?"
Once or twice.
Well, it's very peculiar. And I should also note, the stone was very large until Naga Savari realized she could attune to it. When this happened, the stone seemed to shrink to a more compact size, allowing it to be carried freely.
If Naga Savari is dead, then it's back to its size.
It may be, I have not.
It is curious that you have this thing in your possession, but you are quite distanced from it.
I mean, it's 20 feet underground, and there's a gate at the top. I can't go see it without the hot stones.
So Naga Savari put it there without your knowledge, and then sealed it away, and then ran away with her coven?
We sealed it in there, because you see, my coven, being of lesser magical standing, was subjected to the fog. I believe that they were corrupted by its power after attunement, which led them to believe that they needed to remove me from power and harness its energy for themselves. So, I forced Naga Savari to break her attunement with the rock and seal the stone away with the heart stones until I figured out what to do with it.
When we were fighting them, any of us, or did I notice that they might have been corrupted?
They were still, like, pretty good magic users, that the corruption did not affect them as much as it would, like, that quickling that you guys fought.
Okay.
You guys basically do an entire circle around her house, and you're back to kind of where you were standing, and she's looking at you.
Wait, you just took us around the house? There's a tunnel or something, right? You said it was underground. We're not there.
I seem to have lost it.
No, something is not right with you. What is this? What is this, witch?
Are you lying? That's what everybody wants to know. I'm just gonna ask you the question that everybody wants to ask you. Are you lying, lady?
Why don't you roll an insight check there, Torque?
That's well, so great. I guess he could do that, couldn't he?
Yeah, he could.
So I rolled a 16 plus 3, so that's a 19.
She seems to be telling the truth.
Oh, god damn it. I thought I was going to find out some juicy secret.
What do you mean you lost it?
I don't rightly know.
Will one heartstone maybe change your mind?
I mean, all three. I just need to remember where they were, where it was.
I don't think something is not right with this situation. There's no way that you lost it, Baba Yaga.
I didn't. You shall not take it from me. You can't have it.
Oh. And she rises up.
No.
And I need you all to roll initiative.
Oh, dang it. Trixie
of
lady.
Of course.
All right, that's a 10 for Cornelius.
Hey, that's a good one for Gord. That's finally nice. It's a 16 for Gord.
I got the 5 for Dario.
Torque rolled a 9.
That's a dirty 20 for Nevlin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And Spud got a 15. First off the get-go, any humanoid that starts its turn within 30 feet of Baba Yaga and can see Baba Yaga's true form must take a DC, doesn't matter, wisdom saving throw.
Okay.
That goes for, I think everyone is in that range, so everyone needs to roll that right now.
Gord rolled a 5.
Okay, I am sorry, Sid.
Cordelius, 15.
I rolled a 4.
Dario got a 21.
Nevlin rolled a 17.
Okay, so Nevlin, Dario, and Cornelius, you're unaffected. Torque and Gord, you are both frightened. You guys can also roll on the end of each of your turns, and if you successfully beat the DC, you will be immune to Baba Yaga's horrific appearance for the next 24 hours. So first in the order is going to be Nevlin.
Does Baba Yaga look to us like she is also fallen under the influence of the ooze?
No, she just looks like a crazy hag that is, like, super powerful.
Okay, in that case, Nevlin takes a few steps back. He moves back about 20 feet. You see the familiar geometric shapes in the smoke of his pipe that he was smoking on the walk surround him again and make the form of mage armor around him.
Okay. Is that your turn?
That's it.
All right. Next up, it's going to be Gord.
Gord looks at Baba Yaga and is really feeling uncomfortable about how ugly she looks compared to how beautiful she was last time. He's going to look at the group and say, she's still part of the Court of Stars. Let's get her knocked out and figure it out then. And then I whistle to her and I go, you want this? And I hold up the heartstone that I have and I say, you better come get it. And I move away from her and use my action to move 60 feet away from her.
She's actually scared. He's like totally scared.
He says it like, come and get it, bitch. And that uses my action as well. And I'll, I guess, roll to see if I'm no longer frightened.
Go for it.
Does a 12 beat it?
No, you're still frightened.
All right.
Spud, actually, I didn't say, but Spud rolled a 14 plus his wisdom is plus 2. So he cleared that. So he's going to be like, oh, man. And he starts running towards Baba Yaga, and he's going to go...
Bud, no!
Straight up to Baba Yaga, and he's going to draw both of his short swords, and he's going to attack twice at her. The first one is a 15 plus 6 for 21, which I believe beats her. It totally does. So the first one's going to be a hit, and the second one is a 14 plus 6 is a dirty 20, is also going to hit. So he's going to do 2d6 plus 8 damage for both of those hits. That's going to be 11 damage to Baba Yaga as he slashes into her once and then again with the second, and she screams out in pain. At that point, it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn, and she is going to immediately look at Torque. I need you to make me a wisdom saving throw, please.
Okay. So 18 plus 3 is 21.
Okay, yeah. She glares at you very, very, very viciously, but nothing seems to happen. You shield your eyes and kind of look away out of fear, and you're unaffected by this. And with that, she's going to use a legendary action, and she's going to slash out at Spud with her claws. And she misses. Not going good so far. She is going to disengage and move away. And she moves herself over to closer to another bridge, just off to the east of her hut. And then it's going to be Cornelius's turn.
All right, so I am going to cast Flaming Sphere on the bridge that is in front of her.
Okay.
And light that motherfucker on fire.
All right. What does Flaming Sphere do?
The part that we really need to know is that it's a 5-foot diameter sphere of fire that appears in an unoccupied space within range, which is 60 feet. It will last for 1 minute. It's a concentration spell. And the sphere ignites flammable objects not being worn or carried. It sheds bright light for 20 feet, dim light for an additional 20. Yeah, and since there's no one around it, the other information is null and void at this exact moment.
Okay.
And then I am going to move backwards.
Okay. Yeah, you put it there and it does light the bridge on fire and you are successful in your spelling.
Bridge destruction.
And then I am going to, I'm going to go over by Nevlin.
Okay, so you move west over to Nevlin.
And that'll be my turn.
Next it's going to be Torque. You are currently frightened.
Yeah, Torque is like very, very frightened by not the outward physical appearance of Baba Yaga, because he believes that people, especially people socialized as females, are too often judged on their physical outward appearance, and it's not always what it's all about. So he's terrified of who she is on the inside. So he doesn't move closer to her, but he is going to roll to attack with his crossbow at disadvantage.
Hell
right?
Yeah.
Did I get the rules right?
You got the rules.
Whoa! And you got a 20!
Nat 20.
Yeah, nice. But I still have to roll.
Oh, right. You have to roll again.
Don't get too excited. Okay, so 12 plus 7, so...
Yeah, that's definitely a hit.
I'm amazing. So I just rolled a 2 plus 5, so it'll be 7 damage.
All right, so 7 damage to Baba Yaga with your crossbow.
First blood.
The bolt just rips through the air, and you see the bolt cleanly go through her shoulder as her skin is so thin. You watch the bolt come out with a spray of blood out the backside of her and fly off and smash into a tree on the other side.
Amazing. Do I get to roll to see if I'm not frightened anymore?
You do, yes. Wisdom saving throw, yep.
17.
You are no longer frightened. You see this. You see this bolt go through her skin, and you're like, she's not invincible.
Oh, can you say something else? What else does Torque say?
No, yeah. That's all he says.
Damn
and
it.
And then he's not frightened anymore.
That's great.
So you are now also immune, as well as you, Gord. You're both immune to the... Oh, no, Gord, you're still frightened, aren't you? Right. Okay.
Yeah, I think the outward beauty is more disgusting.
Torque, you are immune to the effects of her horrificness for the next 24 hours. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Okay, I'll turn to Spud and I'll be like, do it again, but this time with the protective powers of Mercule. And I'll cast protection against good and evil against fey creatures this time. And so I touch his shoulder and I'm like, go for it. And then I run away to the northeast up by the other bridge. And I'll be like, I'll make sure that she doesn't get across this bridge.
So Spud has advantage.
Here, let's, for all of you who don't know, until the spell ends, one willing creature you touch is protected against certain types of creatures, aberrations, celestials, elementals, blah, 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 blah. The key one is fey. Protection grants several benefits. The creature of those types have disadvantage on attack rolls against the target. The target also can't be charmed, frightened, or possessed by them. If the target is already charmed, frightened, or possessed by such a creature, the target has advantage on any new saving throw against the relevant effect. Sorry for those who are still scared. Apparently, I don't care about you. And it's all about Spud. Do it, Spud.
Okay. And that's going to be your turn. Okay, then we are at top of the round. It is going to be Nevlin.
All right, Nevlin moves up beside Spud. He is going to cast, hang on, let me do this again. I'm just looking up the thing here. It's so convenient having things on the internet, and I don't have to look at them on books. It just takes several more minutes to find them.
What do you think happened to Encyclopedia Britannica salespeople when the internet came around?
They were beheaded.
That's what I was thinking, too.
So Nevlin... Nevlin moves up beside Spud and he's eyeballing Baba Yaga and he starts rolling up his sleeves and he's muttering. He goes, "Wow, you goddamn backstabbing bog bitch." And he thrusts his hands forward and a witch bolt comes shooting again out of his dope wizard sleeves. So I'm going to roll to attack.
Yep, do just that.
Ooh, that's a 19 plus 7. That's a 26 to hit.
Oh, wow. Yeah, okay, that is a hit. Jeez. And a half.
Cool.
Dope
so it'll
sleeves.
Be 1d12 lightning damage this turn, and as long as I concentrate, another 1d12 every turn after that.
Beautiful.
And that's 10 damage.
Nice. The bolt smashes into her. It definitely starts to boil her skin. You see chunks of her falling off as she screams. Is that going to be your turn?
That's it.
All right, next is going to be Gord then.
Gord shouting even louder. Hey, hey, Baba, you, get over here. I've got it. You want it? Still trying to coax her over.
Okay.
And he'll begin running behind the hut. Again, using his full action to move.
To dash?
60 feet to dash.
So now you are on the eastern side of the hut and... pretty much out of sight of Baba Yaga.
Yep, and I've broken sight of her, so I can probably move closer without having do the frighten, but I will roll anyways to see if I break it.
Give her shit.
Nope.
All right, you are still frightened, but you can move as close to her as you can, being out of her line of sight. And that's going to be your turn?
That's my turn.
Then it's going to be Spud. Spud is going to run in again, and he's going to attack Baba Yaga once again with his two short swords, but not at advantage, Kyle. I'm sorry, because she's not a fey creature. She's a fiend.
Oh, no.
The first attack completely misses. He swings, but with no success. Only hits air. The second attack, oh, it's close, but he's feeling lethargic as his weight is tripled and he's having a hard time moving around, and he misses the second time as well. Nothing but net. Oh, I mean the opposite of nothing but net. And that's going to be Spud's turn, and then it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn. And Baba Yaga is going to look up at you, Nevlin, and she's like,
"You want to taste lightning?"
And her hands start to move together as she starts to form a ball of lightning in her hands in between. She mutters some words under her breath as she casts Lightning Bolt at you. The stroke of lightning forming a line 100 feet long and 5 feet wide blasts out from her in directly towards you. You need to make a dexterity saving throw. You're going to take 8d6 on a failed save, or half as much on a successful.
It's a 16 for my save.
It's not going to do it, Nevlin.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so I'm going to roll up 8d6 right now. Pull out the big guns here.
Yahtzee!
Oh, no.
You know Yahtzee's not called Yahtzee anymore?
So you're going to take 24 lightning damage.
Oh, my God.
As massive lightning bolt shoots out of her hands towards you and just like completely electrocutes the shit out of you. Your cloak is sizzling and your hands are shaking. Oh, I need you to roll to keep your concentration for your witch bolt as well.
That hurts. And my concentration, I got 16 plus my wisdom bonus, which will make it 17.
And that a half of 24 is not that much, so I think you pass.
All right. So Nevlin fucking gets blasted with lightning and rolls backwards, but he gets back up and he's still holding his fucking own lightning spell against her.
Dope. And Baba Yaga sees the flame sphere that Cornelius has cast on the bridge and sees the bridge of fire. She looks to her left and to her right. She disengages from Spud and then heads south down the other side of her hut from Gord and kind of flees the battle a bit. And then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay, I'm going to run my full movement towards her, and I'm going to get rid of the flaming sphere, and I'm going to cast Hold Person on her.
Would you like to be the first to explain Hold Person?
Choose a humanoid that you see within range. The target must succeed on a wisdom saving throw or be paralyzed for the duration. At the end of each of its turns, the target can make another wisdom saving throw. On a success, the spell ends on the target.
Okay.
DC is 14.
She rolled a 16, bro. And plus 2 for 18.
That's my fucking turn.
Dang. It's the way the goat cheese rolls.
That's a common saying.
Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Or does it crumble?
Okay, Torque is going to run down now that he's no longer frightened. He's going to run south towards Baba Yaga, right past Spud.
Yep.
And he's going to stand just kind of in front of Spud, not necessarily for any particular reason. And he is going to use his crossbow to shoot her at a bit of a closer range.
Go ahead and roll the hit.
That is a 19, please.
That hits.
I know. Oh, fuck me. That's karma for being so cocky. I rolled a 1 plus 5, so 6 damage.
6 damage to Baba Yaga?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, you see another one of these bolts you fire goes directly through her flesh again, leaving another hole, and you see a piece of flesh that falls and smacks wetly to the ground.
Ew. Splut.
Split.
Yeah, it didn't sound good to my ears either.
That's yucky. I'm looking forward to that sound effect.
Is that going to be your turn then, Torque?
Yeah.
All right, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Okay, I still have no reason to suspect that my spell is not working, because I'm like, Mercule is never wrong, and I'm never wrong, and my spells are great.
Did you say that out loud?
Yeah, Spud's like, oh, man.
I'm a horrible warrior.
Don't worry, Spud. You are empowered by Mercule. Nothing can touch you. I run over to the side, and then I dash further to get in behind Nevlin. And I'm like, Nevlin, are you okay? I'd rather not waste a spell to heal you, but I will.
I'm pretty fucked up here, buddy.
Okay, I'll do something about it in 6 seconds.
all right, you got it.
Okay. For those people at home, that means next round.
Yeah, okay, go, and I'm done.
What if they're at work?
Well, if you're at work, whatever, it doesn't matter.
What if they're on the
guy,
bus?
That guy, Dave, that's in his car right now.
What if work is home? Yeah.
So whose turn is it?
Sorry, Dario, is your turn over?
My turn is over.
And it's top of the round, it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
So having stood up from the ground, Nevlin reaches his other hand forward, joining this sort of beam of lightning coming out of his sleeves again, and he just, with a great step forward, he shoots another D12 damage into Baba Yaga.
All right, roll the damage.
That is 12 damage.
Fuck yeah, max damage. Love that shit. The bolt connects, and it singes her skin as it makes its way through her knee. You see pustules just pop, and all of the fluids are coming out. You see the flesh starting to sag down as it sizzles and burns.
What color are the fluids?
A green. Various browns and blacks. She's very stinky. Anyway, Nevlin, is that going to be your turn?
Yeah.
All right, and then it's going to be Gord.
Gord is going to go against the wall of the hut and slowly but quickly move his way around using his movement and then his bonus action until he's in line of sight with Baba Yaga. And once he sees her, he will not proceed any further, but says, no coming through this way either. And then he tries to roll to see if he can stop being frightened.
All right.
Does a 16 do it?
Hell yeah, you are no longer frightened.
Yeah.
You stared enough at the disgusting visage of Baba Yaga and you're feeling better.
I stand a little bit straighter, holding the hard stone that I have still in my hand.
All right, that's going to be your turn?
That is my turn.
Okay, then it's going to be Spud. And Spud sees Nevlin hurting, and he hears Dario talk about 6 seconds. He's like, oh, bad. I could probably help him out. And he runs back to Nevlin, and he's going to cast Cure Wounds on you.
All right.
So you're going to regain 1d8 plus Spud's spellcasting ability, which is 2. So you're going to get 6 hit points back, Nevlin, from Spud, as he touches you with his spongy hand, and some magic kind of transfers over from him to you. You feel just a little bit better.
Hey, thanks, Spud.
Baba Yaga looks over at you, Gord, and she's like, and she immediately takes off. And you ain't never seen like an old woman run like this, any of you. It's nutty. And she just, her legs are falling apart, her skin is sagging, but she runs directly towards Spud. And when she gets to Spud, she disappears in a flash of thunder and lightning.
What?
And I need the three of you, so that's gonna be Spud, Nevlin, and Cornelius, to make a constitution saving throw, please.
Natural fucking 20.
All right.
Yes.
Only a 10 for Nevlin.
Okay. Oh yeah, Spud is me. That's right.
I rolled a 7.
Spud failed as well. So Spud and Nevlin are going to take 3d10 damage. Cornelius are going to take half of that.
3d10 each?
Yes. So that's going to be 20 damage for Nevlin and for Spud.
Oh my god.
And that's going to be 10 damage for you, Cornelius.
Wait, is Nevlin alive?
Nevlin is not alive.
So you guys see Nevlin fall, and Spud does not look great. You see, like, there's a massive chunk that's burnt out of the side of his mushroom-like figure. And all of a sudden, Baba Yaga is gone. And Gord, roll me a perception check.
17.
You hear something just kind of, like, materialize.
Like what sound?
You listen to the episode, like, 2 months from now. And
I can't wait.
It's like...
Is it like the Star Trek?
I'll yell out, she's back here!
All right. Good old free action yelling. That's going to be Baba Yaga's turn. And then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay. Cornelius quickly glances at Spud and Dario. Nevlin's there. And just to be courteous, I also take a glance at you, Torque, as I turn around and I start making my way down towards Gord.
Bye, guys. This might be the last time.
I'm assuming I see Gord and also Baba Yaga now that I've come around the house.
Yeah, now that you've come to the south side of it, you see Gord directly in front of you and Baba Yaga just off in the distance behind him.
Okay, I'm going to summon my wildfire spirit.
Hell yeah. What was his name?
It doesn't
it was Jerry.
Have a name.
It was Jerry.
Jerry?
Is it Jerry?
Or Gerald.
Who's Jerry?
I can't remember.
It's a jackal.
No, it has an official look now, and it is a proportionately sized 3-foot-tall Jeff Goldblum, but but made of fire.
Fuck okay. Right off. How much do you want for it? I'll buy
it. Hey, guys, I'm just going to light a little bit of fire over here.
I could hear your sexy, thick glasses as you were talking.
And so I will cast it just a little bit down past Gord.
Okay. Yes.
And
what do you do next?
I want my money back. That would be my turn, and then its turn is right after mine.
Yeah.
It's gonna use an attack called Flame Seed. It's a ranged weapon attack, and yeah, I'm gonna roll to attack.
Yep.
No, that's a 4. I rolled a 2.
Okay. Yeah, no. It shoots flame out of its little tiny Jeff Goldblum hands. Or does it shoot it out of his tiny little Jeff Goldblum glasses?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
We're talking Jeff Goldblum from The Fly. So, yeah. Young, sexy.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay.
I mean, he's still sexy, but...
Yeah, he shoots this flame out of his young, sexy Jeff Goldblum tiny glasses, and it just misses Baba Yaga. She manages to kind of duck out of the way a little bit. And then that's your flame's turn, so next it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, so Torque is just going to kind of keep following this cowardly witch. So he's just going to run down the south around the house towards where she is now located, and he will yet again roll to attack, to shoot his crossbow.
Roll the hit.
Oh, thank God, it's a 7 and not a 1. So that's a 14.
14's not going to hit.
Oh, God damn it. Well, that's that.
I think Baba Yaga's feeling pretty spry, and she manages to duck out of the way of the Jeff Goldblum flame, and then also manages to duck out of the way of the crossbow at the same time. And if that's going to be your turn?
Yeah.
And then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, well, I turn to the disgusting ruin of what is Nevlin on the floor, and I'll be like, no, Nevlin, now is not your time. And I reach down, and holding my amulet of Mercule, I'll infuse him with awesome dark healing power. I cast Cure Wounds at level 2, and because he's going from 0 up as part of my Cleric of the Grave, I max out the healing.
Dope.
So I max out the healing for 2d8, so 16 plus my spell cast ability, so then it's plus 3, so yeah, so it's 19.
Wow. Nice.
Get back into it, Nevlin. We don't have time for your dying.
And with that, Nevlin hops up to his feet, and then it's going to be Nevlin's turn.
So Nevlin pulls himself up and does that thing. He's like dusting himself off, and he looks at Dario, and he kind of gives him a nod, and he straightens Dario's collar as well and pats his shoulders. And he sticks his pipe in his mouth, and he's going to saunter around the corner of the hut. And Nevlin stares down Baba Yaga, and he also pulls a medallion out of his cloak, and he goes, hey, Baba, he's not the only one with one of these. Hell. And he expels a small bit of smoke from the side of his mouth that builds in front of him, and all of a sudden Nevlin splits into 4 versions of himself, and he says, I got a shit ton. That's going to be my turn. That was the spell Mirror Image. Nice. I've created 3 illusory versions of myself, and every time I'm targeted, I can roll a dice to try to deflect the attack to one of my illusionary forms.
That's awesome.
Sick as brew. Well, if that's your turn, then it's going to be Gord Godhand.
Gord mutters under his breath, I'm sorry, and moves towards Baba Yaga, taking out his glaive, and as he does so, he says, I only need the power stone. As he glaive comes out, it scrapes across his shoulder. As he uses his bonus action to rage, he takes 4 damage and recklessly attacks with his glaive as hard as he can.
Nice. All right, roll to hit.
Does a 14 hit?
No, unfortunately not.
Yeah, it's the first time he's cut himself, and he's feeling a little insecure about that. So swings wide, but still raging.
Yes, but you are raging.
And that's my turn.
And that's your turn? Okay, then it's going to be Spud's turn, and he's like, Dario, where the hell did everyone go? He starts running down the side of the hut on the western side towards Baba Yaga. Not being able to make it the entire way to Baba Yaga, he's going to cast Zephyr Strike on himself. So he moves like the wind for the duration. His movement doesn't provoke opportunity attacks, and once before the spell ends, he can give himself advantage on one weapon attack on his turn, and it deals an extra 1d8 force damage on a hit. Whether you hit or miss, your walking speed increases by 30 feet until the end of that turn. And that is going to be Spud's turn, and then it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn. And
Baba Yaga!
Baba Yaga is going to look directly at you, Gord, and she is going to start moving her hands as she cackles into the night, and you see these flames start to pile in together between her hands as she casts Scorching Ray on you, and these rays shoot out of her hands. First one is going to be a 17 to hit.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, and the second one is going to be a dirty 20 to hit.
Yep.
And the third one is going to be a hit as well.
Jesus. That's
a 14 plus 9, so you're going to take 66 damage in total.
And it's fire damage, right?
It is fire damage. That's actually quite garbage. So it's going to be 14 fire damage to you.
Okay.
Baba Yaga is going to retreat further back to the west towards the water.
Does she disengage?
Oh, because you're 10 feet? No, she doesn't. Take your opportunity attack.
Beautiful!
Nice.
Get that heck.
Again, swinging wide, swinging free. Curse at myself. Definitely didn't hit.
Chest air. Moving forward, it's going to be Cornelius' turn. And tiny Jeff Goldblum on fire.
Jeff Goldburn.
Jeff Goldblum. Jeff Goldburn.
Well, fuck. Baba Yaga moved farther away, which fucked my plan. So I think, I guess I'm just going to run ahead. I'm going to run up to Gord. And I am going to cast Scorching Ray on Baba Yaga.
Give her a little taste of her own medicine.
Eater.
All right.
Yeah.
Roll the hit.
Oh, yeah. That's going to be 23 to hit.
Yeah, that hits.
Going to do some old fire damage here, and ooh, not bad. That's 11 damage.
Okay.
6 and 2 sneak eyes.
Yeah, okay. 2 misses anyway. So one of them connects and does a decent amount of damage to her, and you can see the flesh on her chest starting to sizzle and burn and fall away. More wet smacking sounds as the flesh drops to the ground. And then the two of the others fly both on each side of her just past.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still made a hit, so not bad. And then as my bonus action, I will move my wildfire spirit, Jeff Goldblum.
Yep.
Oh, yeah, I'll move it just up past me and Gord, and then I will use the flame seed again, and that's fucking hell. I rolled another 2, so that's an 8. That's a miss, and that's the turns.
Yeah, all right. So this thing moves closer towards, and flames shoot out of his tiny, sexy Jeff Goldblum glasses at Baba Yaga, but are just wide. It's hard, the glasses and the flames, and you can't see, so it's, anyway.
He's like, I'm not sure if I'm going to hit with this, but I'm going to try.
If that's your turn, it's going to be Torque's turn.
Torque is just going to, yet again, run in the direction that Baba Yaga has gone around the house, and he just can't seem to catch up to her, and he's really quite frustrated because he'd rather be using his short swords, but he's going to shoot again around Cornelius because I'm also realizing Cornelius is like right in the way. Yeah, we're just going to give it a go. He won't shoot Cornelius. Torque is way too good to shoot Cornelius.
All right, roll a hit then.
I'll be fine.
Okay, it's here cool. We go. God, told you so. 25.
Yeah, that's a hit for sure. You smoker.
Yeah, I knew it. Well, let's see.
It was right over my shoulder.
That's right. And it'll be 9 damage.
All right. Yeah, this bolt comes and it just manages to make its way right through the bottom side of her bicep. And it shoots directly through as you see a chunk of flesh fall to the ground with a wet smack. I love the wet smack.
Yeah.
Oh, well, does she have squirrel arms? A little bit.
Like a flying squirrel?
Yes.
Yeah. It's pretty saggy skin, man. It's pretty gross.
Okay, that's all. I like the visual, thank you.
Yeah.
Is that going to be your turn, Torque?
Yeah, I've maxed out my movement and my actions, so...
All right, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right, so Nevlin had just gotten up. I said something mean to him, and then he went and, like, straightened my stuff, and I was kind of like, all right, there's no time for this. And I turn around, and I move down around the west side of the hut, and then I can see Baba Yaga down and by the water beyond the hut, and I'll be like, come on, Mercure, let the bell toll for her. And grab my symbol, point, and I toll the dead.
So you move down halfway down the hut and cast toll the dead. So what's the save on that?
It's a wisdom saving throw, DC 13.
All right. It's only a plus 2, so she's a 5. That is a fail, my friend.
Nice. So she has been injured. I will be doing 1d12 necrotic damage. And that's 9.
Nice. She hears the bells go, and as soon as she hears the bells, she starts to cover her ears and scream as the sound just, like, ricochets through her mind, and the damage takes its toll on her. She shakes it off, but she's definitely screaming. And is that going to be your turn?
Yeah, as a parting verbal shot, I'll be like, you could have just been straight with us. Now you will die.
All right, then we're going to be at top of the round. It's going to be Nevlin's turn.
All right, the 4 Nevlins are going to keep moving to the west around the hut. The 4 Nevlins all begin reciting an incantation as all 4 Nevlins shoot 3 bolts of magic missile each at Baba Yaga. They, of course, are firing illusory magic missiles. But
all right.
I'll be hitting her with my regular ones.
Okay.
That's 10 damage.
Hell yeah. Okay. She looks out of her peripheral vision. She sees mountains of missiles coming towards her, and she turns to you and puts her arms up to block like 19 missiles, but 3 of them connect right in the belly, and you see these things just singe her skin as more of the skin falls off of the bone, taking 9 damage.
Excellent. That's it.
All right. Then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Excellent. Gord uses his movement to run at Baba Yaga, and he's like, come on, Grumsh, and we'll jump in the air and swing to attack. An 18?
That hits.
Yes! Alright. Baba Yaga takes 10 regular damage and 7 points of necrotic damage.
Okay.
There you go.
Perfect. And that is my turn.
Alright, then it's going to be Spud's turn, and Spud is going to run directly south, sees you attack Gord, and figures he's got to show his worth. And so Spud starts running, and he's like, Baba Yaga! And he gets directly towards Baba Yaga, and he'll slice at her twice with his short swords.
His war cry is her name?
Whatever, it does the trick. He rolled a 16, so plus 6 is going to be a 22. That's a hit. And the second one is going to be a 10 plus 6 or 16, which is not a hit. But on his first hit, he's going to take 1d6 plus 4 damage. And he deals 5 damage to Baba Yaga.
Reminded me more of, like, in Akira when Kanata drives Tetsuo's bike into a wall and he's like, Tetsuo!
Tetsuo!
Very accurate. And with that, it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn. Baba Yaga is going to disengage from you guys, taking half her movement away, and she is going to start making her way up a little bit northwesternly. And then she is going to start harnessing in that fire energy again in between her hands as she shoots out 3 scorching rays at, Spud. Spud. First one is going to hit. Second one is going to hit. Third one is going to miss. And so Spud will take 46 in total damage. Oh, Jesus Christ. Spud's gonna take 18 fire damage. And you guys see Spud fall to the ground unconscious as he's looking a little sautéed. With that, it is going to be Cornelius's turn.
All right, well, I am going to run up to Spud and I'm going to cast Cure Wounds.
All right.
And I will roll that for you. And that'll be for 8 hit points.
All right.
And then that'll be my turn, but I'll use my bonus action to command my Jeff Goldblum, and then Jeff Goldblum's turn will just be moving up closer, again, full movement.
Then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Oh, great. So he's just going to keep chasing after her, because that's kind of all he can do at this point. Torque is just going to run up to the rest of the group, Spud, Gord, and Cornelius, and he's just going to take another crack at her with his crossbow.
Cool to hit.
That's a 10.
10's not going to hit.
That's that. That's my turn.
Okay. Then it's going to be Dario's turn.
All right. So here we go. I would be running down to maybe help Spud, but I won't make it all the way because I'll be like, no. Mercurial has one more thing for you. And I use one of my domain spells to cast Bane on Baba Yaga, which, this time around, it's up to 3 creatures, but she's the only one. She has to make a charisma saving throw, DC 13. And when she fails that, then it's 1 minute of D4 subtraction to either a attack roll or saving throw.
Okay.
What?
That's a nat fucking 20, bitch!
So I feel like a snapback of power as like my spell fizzles out around her, and I'll be like, oh no.
Why have you betrayed me, Mercure?
She's starting to feel very angry as you have basically been shit-kicking her. So she slaps back at you as you cast magic at her, and then it's going to be top of the round, and it's going to be Nevlin 4 times great.
All right. Ty, is she in the water or she's on a bank, eh?
She's just down the bank from you, yeah. It's maybe like a 4-foot, 3-foot drop.
Okay. Nevlin lines himself and his duplicates up along the western bridge.
Okay.
And so I'm about 15, 20 feet away from her. Nevlin's going to look down at her and cast a scorching ray. So that's 3 rays of fire hurled at a target within range.
She sees they're 12. All...
Yeah, so yeah, she sees 12 fucking scorching rays heading her way. But that's...
We're really having a Doctor Strange moment right now, eh?
There's lots of scorching rays coming on. 21,
26, and 20 were my attack rolls.
They all hit.
Excellent. Yeah, that's going to do 66 damage to her. Which nice. Is 22 damage total to Baba Yaga.
Yeah. Yeah, she... sees the 12 scorching rays coming at her, and she knows at this point that 3 of them are real, as per the magic missile incident. But she still freaks out nonetheless, and these 3 scorching rays just make perfect connections as it deals her 22 damage.
Yeah, things are finally starting to heat up around here.
Is that going to be your turn?
That's the end, yeah.
All right, then it's going to be Gord's turn.
All right, how is Baba Yaga looking?
Pretty gross.
Ugly. On the inside.
Yeah, she's battered, bruised. There's flesh falling off of her. She's bleeding heavily.
Gord's going to run up, and as he does so, he'll put away his glaive and grapple her with all the strength he has.
All right, so contested strength rolls?
Yep. That's a 25 for Gord.
Nice.
She rolled a 13, so she is now grappled by you, Gord.
Excellent. I am holding on to her, and I yell to everybody,
give her all you got.
It's gross, man. You can feel like her skin moving around her bones and stuff as you're yelling this.
You have so many bodily fluids on you that aren't yours.
I'll whip her over to everybody else's direction so that I'm using her almost as a shield. And that's my turn.
And then it's going to be Spud's turn. And Spud is going to... He's going to stay where he is as he's feeling confident. But he's pretty hurt. So as he lifts up his short swords and crosses them together. And then as he runs his sword blade along the other, you see a big blue light flash out and he casts Cure Wounds on himself. He's going to regain 10 hit points. That's going to be his turn. He's getting ready for the next round. Then it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn. She is currently grappled, so she is going to try and attack you whilst in the grapple. So she's going to multi-attack you. So first she's going to try and claw you, and that's going to miss. She can't get her hands free, but then so she tries to bite you instead. And that's going to be a 19 to hit.
That hits.
Oh. Yeah, so she manages to bite one of your hands, and you're going to take one...
Roll for rabies.
1d8 plus 3 damage. So you're going to take max damage on that, so plus 3, you're going to take 11 damage.
Perfect, and that's halved to 6 from being raged.
And then she's going to take a legendary action, and she bites your hand, you kind of let off a little bit, and it frees her up again. She fucking rolls a nat 20 on the claw legendary attack.
What?
Yes, ma'am. So you're going to take max plus roll damage, and that's going to be 12 plus 3, so 15 damage plus, 11. So that's, 26 damage plus 3 for 29 damage, Gord.
Halved to 15 damage. All right, I'm still standing.
Yeah, but you probably should get that checked out after the fight. And all the while, as she claws out at you, she's screaming horrifically and trying to get free, but she rather would hurt you than try to get free of the grapple. So that's her turn, and then it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
All right, so the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to move over closer to my wildfire spirit. I'm going to cast Burning Hands, which shoots a 15-foot cone in the direction I'm pointing, which is right at Baba Yaga.
Okay.
So both Gord and Baba Yaga are going to have to make dex saves, DC 14.
Okay. Ooh, rough.
I got a 15.
Baba Yaga got a 7, so she fails.
Okay, so... Oh my god, I rolled 1, 2, 3. So she takes 6 fucking fire damage.
All right.
And Gord, you take 3. I'm going to continue my movement up next to her. And then with my bonus action, I will now go over to Jeff Goldblum, who is going to run up next to me and use fiery teleportation. And the spirit in each willing creature of your choice within 5 feet of it teleport up to 15 feet to unoccupied spaces you can see. Then each creature within 5 feet of the space that the spirit left must succeed another deck. Oh, she needs to save another, do another deck save.
Okay. That one's going to be a 14. So I think that beats your DC, or is your DC.
That is my DC. So that is... Yeah, so that nothing happens. But I teleported 15 feet away.
Okay.
Gord looks like Wizard Finger, like a hot dog that's been left out on the grill for like 8 hours.
So you're hurting then?
I'd say yes.
With that, then it's going to be Torque's turn.
Okay, so he's just gonna go run right up to her,
yep.
Straight ahead, and he's going to drop his crossbow and pull out his short sword, and he's okay. gonna try and just tear off some of that oozy flesh of hers with his okay. short sword. And
with his claws.
I think he just might, because he rolled a 26.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Oh, fuck, okay, well, whatever. So that's 8 damage for the short sword.
Okay.
And then naturally, he'd like to use his bonus action to use his adorable little turtle claws to
yep.
get
Roll
her
up.
Skin under his nails. And that's a 17.
That's not gonna hit.
Really? What a son of a gun.
Wow.
Did you do it at advantage?
No, she's flanked.
Oh, yeah, I guess she's flanked. Yeah,
and
so give her shit.
Thank you.
Roll again.
Salmonella.
I will give this lady so much goddamn salmonella. That's a dirty 20.
That'll hit.
Come on. That's 8 more salmonella damage.
All right, 8 salmonella damage.
It'll get you.
Take that.
You slash at her with your short sword, and you notice a large cut that just kind of like, she's running out of blood, and the skin flaps over,
Ew.
And then when you go in it with the claws, you like sever the piece of flesh as it like smacks to the ground.
Yeah, she's gonna have an infection though.
Yeah,
easily.
Is that gonna be your turn?
Yes, thank you.
Then it's gonna be Dario's turn.
Okay, so Dario runs along this 3-foot bluff and gets some really good speed, and then he launches into the air, probably about 5 feet into the air, splashes into the water right next to Gord, who is tackling Baba Yaga, and he throws his right hand over, holding the symbol of Mercule, and he's like, "Come back, brother." Suddenly, his voice changed in tone and also accent as he heals him.
as he heals him for at a level 2 healing slot, 2d8. And he only heals Gord for 6 hit points.
Oh. even at second level.
Yeah.
You did your best, Thorio.
No way. I put a little too much into the jump from the bluff.
Just do it a little better next time.
As Dario grabs his back, his lower back.
It was worth it for him.
And is that going to be your turn then?
Yeah, that's going to be my turn. My character is 30 years of age.
Oh, that's fair. Yeah, I grab my lower back all the time.
This is when it starts.
As soon as you hit 30.
And then we're going to go to top of the round. It's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Nevlin sees Gord holding on to Baba Yaga and everybody coming to his aid. He realizes he's getting a little fucked up. So Nevlin is going to cast Reduce on Baba Yaga.
Nice.
Okay.
What does this do?
So she'll have to make a Constitution saving throw. On a success, the spell has no effect. But what it will do, should she pass, is its target size is halved in all dimensions. Its weight is reduced to 1/8 of normal.
1/8?
It decreases its size by one category from medium to small. Will give her disadvantage on strength checks and strength saving throws, and attacks with weapons will do 1d4 less damage.
She rolled a 19.
Rolled a 19, did she? Well,
you know, it's
just
great.
So happens
it's great because oh, this
wait,
so happens what?
Zach's gonna say something cool.
Yeah.
No, it wasn't.
Oh.
It just so happens that my spell save DC is 15.
Okay. All right. Well, yeah, so nothing happens.
You almost turned her into child size.
Yeah.
We could have just punted her into the water.
Nevlin will use his bonus action to, like, heave a really big sigh and kind of kick some dust around his foot.
Charlie Brown
style.
That'll
be the end of my turn.
Then it's going to be Gord Godhand's turn.
Excellent. Gord is still grappling. He's kind of holding her with both arms, and he's going to lay on hands himself while he does
so. Oh, my God.
Awesome.
So as he's grappling, he's... You can see light forming around his elbows as his hands heal himself for 5 hit points. And that is his turn. Oh, wait. He does say before he ends his turn, he's like, come on, guys. Knock her out. Kill her. Whatever. Jaw! That's his turn.
Then it's going to be Spud's turn. And Spud is feeling battle ready. And he runs directly towards Baba Yaga. And as now has the flank, is going to attack with both of his short swords at advantage.
Dear God, if we don't get her after all this flanking.
He rolled a 19 on the first hit, which is a success. And he rolled a nat 20 on the second hit. So the first hit will be normal 1d6 plus 4 damage. So it's going to be 9 damage to Baba Yaga. And then on the second hit, it will be max plus rolled, which will be 10 damage plus 1 plus 4, so 5. So 15 damage. And he lays into Baba Yaga with both of his short swords. And you guys see blood spray left and right as he successfully slashes into her. But with that, it's going to be Baba Yaga's turn, and she lets out a horrendous scream, kind of followed by a cackle as she starts to claw at you again, Gord.
I try to cover her mouth as she does so she bites me purposely.
The first claw attack is going to be a 17 to hit.
That hits.
Okay, so you're going to take 2d6 plus 3 damage on that. So you're going to take 7 damage.
Reduced to 4.
And then she's going to try and bite at you. She rolls a 19 again this day. So that's going to be 1d8 plus 3 damage. Max damage, so that's 11 damage. So
6 damage.
6 damage.
Okay.
For anyone that hasn't clued in already, when he's in rage, it's half damage, but we round up if it's a weird number. Weird, we call them weird numbers.
I'm good at math.
We're very creative.
The weird numbers. Not even, but the weird ones.
The odd numbers. And with her legendary action, she goes to claw at you, but she just can't get her hand free again. You've got a tighter squeeze on her now. And with that, it's going to be Cornelius' turn.
Okay, I am going to run directly at her.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to use Primal Savagery, and I'm going to grow big ol' large bunny teeth. And I'm just going to go right for her throat.
Okay, roll the hit.
That's only a 10. That's a fucking miss.
Yeah, that is a miss, unfortunately.
Then I'm going to disengage, move back, and then as my bonus action, I will now hand it over to Mr. Jeff Goldblum. the small,
mm-hmm.
the hot. I will use Flame Seed, and I will just make my attack on that. That's a 9. I don't like these dice.
Too bad. No, that's a miss.
And that is my turn.
Alrighty, then it's going to be Dario's turn.
Alright, I'll be like, I know what you want, Mercure. I know. And I turn out and I reach out a hand to Baba Yaga. And this time I'm going to, like, suck the life force out of her.
I love
and cast
that.
Inflict wounds on her. So hopefully all of her disgusting pustules will explode at the same time. And so I make a melee spell attack. Oh, no. I'm sorry. No dice. I rolled a 4 plus 5, and so I miss. I, like, kind of trip and just kind of, like,
Gord.
Swing past her.
Gord's just taking the biggest one for the team, and everyone's just missing.
Seriously, we are.
Is that going to be your turn, then?
And I'll be like, oh, I am. I move over and get to the north corner opposite of Cornelius.
Yeah, you just take a step to the left.
To the left, to the left. You must not know it. Okay, anyway.
Then it's going to be top of the round. It's going to be Nevlin's turn.
Wait, who do I go after again? Did I get to go?
My bad. Torque, you go ahead and take your round.
Yes, thank you. Torque's getting battle fatigue here. As I'm sure Gord has it worse, but like...
Way to play that.
No, retcon, just roll with it.
Yeah.
Okay, Torque's just going to slash the shit out of this fleshy hag.
Roll the hit.
Thank you, I will. Wait, can you see it?
Yeah, it's a 20.
It's a nat 20.
Aww. Yeah, it's a nat 20. All right, roll max plus rolled.
So that's 11 max damage and then 9 rolled damage, so 20 damage.
Nice, yeah, you lay into her real fierce with that short sword. And you guys are getting tired of her being alive. And you slash into her arm, and you just see, like, the skin on her arm just drop down 6 inches.
Oh, great.
On the bone.
And Torque is, like, really mad because he is getting really tired, and he's just, like, frustrated at her for not dying because he would just love a little bit of a nap. So he, like, lets out this battle cry. I don't know what that is until right now. It's going to sound like, that's it, and he's probably gonna do it more often now.
I love how that's the whole motivation process.
Oh yeah, it's very selfish. He just,
that's really dope.
He just wants a little bit of like R&R. And then for that same reason he's going to of course use his turtle claws to speed up the process even further, hopefully.
All right, roll it up.
Oh, that's a 19 plus 7, so 20.
Yeah, that's a hit.
Right. Oh, that's max damage to 9 damage.
All right.
He's very upset.
You slash again across with the same arm, and where the flesh began to drop, you slit it down a little bit with your turtle claw, and you just see the flesh kind of fall over the sides, and it starts to like unravel as it falls down, and you can just see like exposed muscle and bone, and it's really disgusting.
Cool.
There's lots of blood pouring out of it.
Love that. Thanks.
All right.
So much blood.
That's your turn. Then it's going to be Nevlin, top of the round.
Right, Nevlin standing on the bridge, he notches the bottom of his staff in between some of the loose boards of the bridge, and he begins pulling back the sling, and he's watching through the fork at the end of his staff at Gord tussling with Baba Yaga, and he's like, come on, you bitch, come on. And as they turn and he gets a clear shot, his hand glows with energy as he releases a chromatic orb at Baba Yaga.
All right.
That is a nat 20 to hit.
Yeah!
What?
Wow.
Nice.
Now they're
Fuck
coming through.
Me.
All right. Roll max plus rolled.
All right. So max will be 24 damage.
Okay.
And plus 9, so 33 damage to Baba Yaga.
Oh, fuck yeah.
Damn.
You got Gord holding onto her and Torque slashing at her. You have Bud slashing at her, Cornelius and Dario making their best attempts. And out of the corner of your eyes, see this 4-inch diameter ball of light, 4 of them, shooting from the bridge, and one of them makes direct contact with Baba Yaga's face. and you see the skin on her face peel back, exposing the muscles on her cheekbones and her teeth, and you see the skin just start to fall off of her face as her skeleton is exposed.
Fuck yeah.
But she's still alive?
She's still alive, but she is like...
Holy shit.
I thought surely that was it.
She's literally dying.
Wait, because it's a chromatic orb, I'm imagining it like paintball, and she's like covered in color now.
I always pictured it as like a disco ball, and then when it hits, it shatters.
And Sandstorm is playing?
Sandstorm is always playing.
All right, then it's going to be Gord's turn.
Gord takes check of this, and how bad does Baba Yaga look?
I mean, I just described it to you. She looks pretty fucking
bad.
She
got no face.
She always looks bad, Gord.
I'd like to, while raging, make a wisdom saving throw to see if I can subdue her rather than kill her.
Oh.
Okay. I see what you're saying. So you wanna fight Grumsh on this one?
Yeah. At this point, I know that this is a powerful being of the Court of Stars. I know that killing them might not make our job easier, but I also have that feeling too, so I'm going to make that wisdom saving throw. Gord rolled a 14.
So that's going to be a 11. So
he fights back that urge, and instead of grabbing his glaive, he grabs his quarterstaff. And just tries to smack her in the head.
Where is your glaive at this point when you started grappling her? Did you drop it or put it back?
I sheathed it.
Okay, cool.
Yeah. So I'll pull out the quarterstaff, which is right beside it.
Sounds good.
And clock her on the head with it.
All right, roll the hit.
That's a 19 to hit.
That does hit.
Perfect. 12 regular damage and 6 necrotic damage.
Yeah, you fucking smoke her right on the skull. You actually see the skull fracture as she hits the ground, and she falls unconscious. And
that
you guys
it.
Have cleared the battle.
God damn it.
That was, wow. We just brought her to that nice. Right point for Gord to knock her out like he said he wanted to, and he did it.
I should say that Baba Yaga is bleeding so far past that the chances of her surviving even one round is probably minimal. So you're going to have to heal her if you want to keep her alive.
Quick, tie her up. Somebody, who's got the best time?
I have a crowbar.
Sleight of hand. Who's got sleight of hand?
I've probably got some rope.
Everybody's got rope.
I'm still holding on to her, too. Okay. You want to bring her back?
I do, I will, but we have to make sure that she is subdued.
Let's cut off her arms.
Yeah, let's do it.
No. She'll bleed out. Oh. She'll bleed out. We need her to survive.
She's already bleeding.
Why the hell are we saving this lady?
Yeah.
She's part of the Court of Stars. She's a chip. Well,
who cares? She tried to kill us.
We should check her body. We never check the bodies. We should do that.
Hey, guys. Guys, I'm just
spit it out!
I don't think the Queen likes Baba Yaga at all.
Kill her!
You do it, but if you want to do it so bad, then you do it.
I've heard her call her some nasty names, you know? I'm just saying.
Like, what kind of names?
All right, then.
She always fights. She's very stubborn. She's a bad person.
That's what the Queen says about her, and you want to kill her?
If that's what she was, and Gord will snap her neck.
Holy shit.
Oh my god.
Good god hand, Gord.
Spud's jaw drops, like his mouth drops, I guess. He doesn't have a mouth, so his face just lowers like 10 inches as he's like, and his eyes go super wide. Never seen his eyes so big. He's like, okay. And then he just turns around and Spud starts to slowly walk away.
Well, he said killer.
Yeah.
As the last blow is dealt to Baba Yaga, she drops down to her knees, neck broken. Her frailty shows as the moonlight shines upon her. Under direct moonlight, the glow seems to burn what's left of her skin as it begins to peel down from her face, leaving behind her muscle-covered skeletal remains. As her jaw dislocates and drops to the ground, it begins to seem that time has finally caught up with Baba Yaga, and whatever pacts she had made over her lifetime had been paid in full. Her bones begin to crack as her body folds into a heaping pile of flesh, which then seems to immediately turn to earth and dust and blow off into the windy night, leaving behind a large heart-shaped stone.
This heart stone is the heart of Baba Yaga, and and that's all I'm going to tell you for now.
Literally?
Literally.
As Baba Yaga fades into the abyss, so does the magical enchantment of her familiar and faithful hut. The chicken legs begin to shake and buckle as the weight of the structure takes its toll and begins to fall into pieces. The legs begin to break and snap as shingles drop and large chunks of wood fall from its sides. Before long, the entire hut falls to its side and breaks apart. The dust settles and the calm returns to Thas Yaga. Beneath the wreckage of the hut, there appears to be something shimmering below.
What do you guys do?
You guys, there's something shiny over there.
Gord will pick up the heartstone.
I'm gonna go look at the shiny thing.
Yeah, Nevlin's gonna go investigate as well.
Okay, yeah, you guys walk towards what you see. It's shimmering down below. You notice that beneath the chicken legs, there was a small drop down, maybe like 2 feet wide, and as you walk through, it opens up and there is a gate directly in front. The gate is sealed tight and has no visible point of access, but has a glowing glyph imprinted on the top of the gate.
Hey, you guys! You guys, are you busy?
No, not at all.
There's this gate over here, and I don't really get it. I don't understand it, and I don't know how to open it.
Don't touch it, Torque.
Can
don't
I do an arcana it. Check on the symbol?
Absolutely, you can.
It's 17.
In Elven, it simply means when all hearts become one, the gate will open.
Ooh.
When all hearts become one, the gate will open.
Yes, that's exactly what it says. That's what it says, right?
Yeah, that's what it says, Connie. Is there a depression or anything anywhere?
There's no depression.
Hey, everybody, give me the stones.
Oh, because they look like... Oh,
yeah,
I
yeah,
get
yeah.
It.
All right. Yeah, here you go.
Nevlin passes a stone.
Here you go.
Oh, that must have been painful.
Oh. Dad joke.
So I guess Gord now has the heartstone of Baba Yaga and the three stones that they've taken from the other witches, and he'll put them together in his hands.
How do you put them together in your hands?
They're full hearts, right?
Yeah, they look like full hearts.
I place them one on top of the other.
Okay, yeah, nothing happens.
Maybe you gotta, like, hit them.
I place them one beside each other.
Points in, you place them one beside each other, kind of almost forming a square.
Oh yes.
And
that's exactly or a diamond.
It's like a clover. I put them in a clover shape.
A rhombus.
You put them together and they form one solid glowing mass.
And then with that mass, I will put it on the gate.
Yeah, you touch it to the gate and the gate opens with ease.
Just boop it.
All right, everybody.
Once the gate reaches...
Jeez, first time using magic stones, Gord?
Once the gate hits the side of the stairs going down, the solid mass stops glowing and the three smaller heartstones turn to dust, leaving only the heart of Baba Yaga behind.
I'll put that in my pocket as we walk on down.
You walk down these stairs, and as you get to the bottom of the stairs, it is absolute darkness. Nothing can be seen.
Oh, well, that's no good.
Nevlin, you got anything for that? Or Dario?
Yeah, Nevlin will cast light.
You can suddenly, everyone can see. And when it's lit up, there's a large pedestal revealed to you where atop sits a large stone.
You guys, it's another stone.
Everyone but Cornelius, roll me a perception check.
Gord got a 4.
Dario got a 15.
Nevlin got a 12.
Tork got a 15.
Gord, when you were in Evernight, your focus was on the large Goliath barbarian that stood before you, but everyone else that was in the city of Evernight, the night of the ritual, you noticed this rock is one of the large rocks that they were dragging into the courtyard. This is the Stone of Power.
This is it.
Just looks like it's a big rock.
Yeah, what's
the
it do?
The Stone of Power.
At least the other ones are shaped like hearts. This one just looks normal.
Baba Yaga said that it would shrink with attunement, so either we gotta haul it out here or one of us is gonna have to attune ourselves to it. But I think that would leave us open to its influence.
Let me see if I can lift it up, and I'll try and pick it up.
Okay, roll a strength check.
I'm not feeling so good today, guys.
Okay, Twerk is gonna try and
I pulled
and
my
pick
back
it up.
Out in that fight, and I think I did it again.
Why don't you just sit down for a second, Gord? Let me handle this. And he rolls a 16.
You barely feel it move when you try to pick it up. You are, like, stressed to the point where you almost feel like you're going to put your back out.
But he looks really cool when he's doing it, right?
You might have even pooped a little bit trying to lift it. Don't lift it.
Oh, goddammit.
Torque, don't worry. Try it again. And I hold on to my medallion, and I put my arm on your shoulder, and I cast Guidance. It's just an extra D4 to your ability check. Be empowered by the divine magics of Mercure.
I like divine magics. Oh, I rolled the exact same thing as before, except I'm gonna add a little bit to it.
Do it.
So that's a 19.
Still, you try. You can feel the magic coursing through your veins, but you do not manage to lift it off of the pedestal.
I just don't know if anybody can move it.
Okay, we're going to try this together. One more time. Mercure will guide us in this light of our peril.
And I cast Guidance on you. I'm going to go to help you with it, so you roll with advantage, and you'll have your +4 to whatever you roll. Now we can do it.
So both of you guys roll the same. Roll your strength check.
You better get this.
Oh, God. At advantage, though, right?
Nope.
I rolled a 2.
Okay.
I rolled a 4.
Oh, yeah. So you guys try. You just can't. It's not budging.
It's no use, fellas.
Someone's got to attune to it.
Who's going
Look,
to
attune? Look, you guys stand watch outside. You give me an hour down here, I'll get it out.
Are you sure,
Nevlin? Are you sure, Nevlin?
Yeah, I got this, boys.
You don't want us watching you? Like, just in case?
Yeah, what do you got?
Lashes out
How
or
do
something?
You attune to things?
Seems a little weird.
Oh, you're shy. Okay, I get it.
Yeah. I gotta get naked.
I'll give you some rum. Oh,
okay. Have a good time. I gotta go anyway. I got stuff to do. See you in an hour.
I really find that quite weird, but yeah, do whatever you gotta do.
Dario, let's go.
Okay, yeah.
Gord. Now that I'm gonna stay.
Did you just moan?
Not in a good way. He knows what he's in for. But Gord doesn't quite... He wants to make sure that this goes well.
And I'm sticking around, and I just don't give a shit.
So. Yeah, well, I mean, you know, do what you will. And Nevlin starts taking off his ropes.
Gordon Cornelius, roll me a perception check.
13.
Okay, Cornelius?
How do you perceive it?
I rolled a 10.
Yeah, it's really hard not to see it, but Cornelius, you kind of like close your legs together and like turn around when you see how well endowed Nevlin is. And Gord,
no,
and
I don't. I'm just like
Gord. Yeah, right Gord, on. You're you feel about the same.
Surprised.
You guys are both really surprised at how big Nevlin's schlong is.
As he disrobes, you also see for the first time that Nevlin is covered like from neckline to toes and fingers in tattoos of very strange occult symbols. Each one a few inches maybe in height, so there's like hundreds of verses written all over him. And he begins to unpack some supplies from his bag. He lights a few candles and incense and sits down to meditate and attune himself to this rock.
Okay. Nevlin, you sit and meditate for about 45 minutes until you finally get up. You approach the stone and you place your hand on it and two fingers on the side of your temple, and you reach out to the stone and you guys see a vibrant light that just kind of starts to come out of the stone as the stone starts to shrink to a size probably the size of a cantaloupe that Nevlin can hold in his two hands. You are now attuned to the Stone of Power, Nevlin. Are you neutral or good? What's your alignment?
True neutral.
True neutral. So once per day, if touched, you gain a +1 to AC and saving throws.
What?
And that lasts for 1 hour.
Can we take a short rest while he was attuning?
You absolutely can, yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah, I'm into that.
So Nevlin, you know, pulls out some extra linens from his bag and he wraps the orb up and he... places the orb in the bag and puts his robe back on. He says, well, it's done, boys. Let's get out of here.
Okay.
Okay.
Why don't we search around a little bit before we go?
Oh, yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Look at the corpses
idea.
Of the dead bodies.
Let's check the bodies.
me and Torque were already upstairs.
Thank you, Darcy Linden, for your lovely comment about checking the bodies. That's a free shout-out.
Really taking that one to heart.
It made me sad.
That shout-out will cost you $15. Yeah, you have
to subscribe to our Patreon now.
Yeah.
Probably texted that about 4 months ago. We're finally catching up to it now.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys are going to search around a bit?
I would go to Baba Yaga's ashened heap or whatever and just kind of like shove some shit aside and see if there's anything extra.
There's nothing else except for Baba Yaga's heart. There is nothing else on her person. And the hut is broken in shambles. Do you guys search around in the rubble of the hut?
I'm going to actually take some of Baba Yaga's ashes. I'm going to put it in like a bottle.
And fuck
I'm just going to keep that shit. All
right. You have some vials or something?
You know what? Do I?
You need some vials. I got you covered. I got some space.
Do you have an extra vial there, Nevlin? Because I noticed that we've done this before when you tried to pick up the goop. But Nevlin, as a keepsake, I'd like to have a little vial of Baba Yaga's ashes. I think that's pretty sweet.
That is pretty sweet. I'll give you one of my vials here.
Were you going to like make a weird necklace out of it or something? You're going to hang her dead body around your neck, Dario?
It's just ashes.
It's literally her dead body.
You scoop up some of the ashes while everyone's walking away and you shuffle them into the vial and you have one bottle of Baba Yaga's ashes. One vial.
Is her whole body burned?
Her whole body just turned to dust and blew away, but there was still some residual dust left in and around.
Yeah,
she still managed to make a mess.
I'm going to light the hut on fire and let it burn.
Oh, no. She's turned to dust. So all that's left is dust and ash.
No. The hut.
Oh, the hut. Okay, yeah.
After we search it.
Well, you search through the rubble and you curiously don't find anything. All you find is structural. Like, you don't see anything else. It's just the structure of it as you're going through. There's no furniture. There's no nothing.
That doesn't make sense. Nevlin, could you...
Was it extra dimensional?
Do some detecting of the magic?
Yeah. I'll cast detect magic.
You cast detect magic, and there is no magic around the hut, but there is magic coming from Baba Yaga's heart.
Let me see that heart there.
Yeah, what do you think?
Well, it sure is radiating a lot of magic energy. Let's just see if we can't identify what's going on here.
All right. I'll keep an eye on it.
You cast Identify?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the heart of Baba Yaga. It's a magical item that grants the wearer a +2 to constitution and requires attunement. The heart beats as normal, however, can drive its wearer to madness. Once per day, the user must roll a wisdom saving throw to overcome its effects. On a critical failure, just a critical failure, the user will succumb to madness. Flip a coin. On heads, the effect is short-term. On tails, the effect is long-term. Use the madness table to determine the effect. And you can just Google that.
Fuck.
That's perfect for Gord.
So Nevlin's holding the heart, and he kind of has his eyes closed. You can see his eyes fluttering around behind his lids. And he bolts open, wide-eyed again, and he says, "Oh, Gord, I don't think any of us here should be using this. It's, this thing, it's got some real bad energy coming off of it.
We'll give it back to the queen when we go.
But like, how
bring
bad?
The stone. It seems to be coist. I believe it. I believe it could. Well, I mean, we saw how Baba Yaga was acting. I think that might have been the result of holding this coisted heart around her neck for so long.
Or maybe it's just the way her heart became. You know, I think this will be a better keepsake, like I said, for the queen.
I think of all of us, Gord, perhaps you should be the one to hold it till we get there.
Yeah, we should not wear this.
All right, it's settled.
Okay.
Well, are you sure I can't hold on to it?
Wait, why would you want to hold on to it, Dario?
Because I am fortified by the divine right of Mercule, and nothing can corrupt me.
But remember when you jumped over that bluff and you landed in the water and you hurt your back earlier? I don't know, you're not really...
Torque.
I mean, sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just looking out for you. I just don't want to see anything bad happen to you.
I just slipped a disc, but it's okay. I just heal it.
I look to Nevlin and I go, I mean, if it's bad stuff,
It ain't my job to tell y'all what to do. This is just what I'm getting off of it. You know, I wouldn't, it's not my job here.
Gord, you seem pretty stressed out, and I think for the betterment of the group, I think I can hold on to this one for now.
I want to make an insight check on Dario.
Yeah.
I'll say with the insight check, I'll say, you're not going to wear an attune to it?
No. Roll. And
that'll be my insight check.
Okay, roll deception, Dario, I'm assuming.
I'm going to use my inspiration for this one.
Okay.
Ooh. I'm going to use my inspiration for this one.
hear that, Dario?
Did you roll a nat 20?
I did.
You threw your hands up like a Tusken Raider, I believe you.
Yeah.
Gord, Dario is very convincing. He seems very sincere to you.
At that point, Gord will say, I don't like giving evil things away, but if you're good to your word, I'll let you take it to the queen herself.
And at that, Cornelius throws a Molotov of flame at the hut in the background, and it just explodes and erupts into fire. At that point, you have the Stone of Power. You have defeated the three hags of Baba Yaga's coven, and Baba Yaga herself lays in ash at the bank of the swamp of Thas Yaga as Dario holds her heart and a small vial of her ashes. Have you had enough of the Mercandra? Are you going to head back to Senelis?
I think it's time.
We have to maybe check out that last coven witch's place. Right, she left that place empty. Maybe there's some sick shit there.
We don't even know where it is.
I mean, I can direct you, but again, Dario, with that space in the middle of the Mercantra, you know, that's the place where many men have entered and no men have left.
Oh yeah, you were saying that was like a burn or something, that was like a maze or...
I don't think it was a maze, it's just it's a very large portion of a forest that it's, no one has ever seen leave. The people have watched men go in, and women too, and none of them have ever returned.
Well, maybe they just come out the other side, have you ever thought about that?
Maybe they weren't the type of people to kill Baba Yaga, am I right?
Maybe there's like a sweet tree fort resort.
I will take you there if that's where you want to go. But, I would like to go home. I could use a fucking bath, if I want to be honest about it.
You're not wrong. It's pretty gross out here.
Yeah, you're very slimy.
Look, our whole point was to get the Power Stone. We got the Power Stone. Let's go home. Oh. At this point, Gord starts to sound a little aggravated.
I hear you, big guy.
We got to get ourselves paid here.
Okay. It sounds like it's a group consensus. Pay?
Yeah, all right, let's do it.
All right.
Okay.
So you guys are going to head back to Senelis?
Yeah. We're going to go to Senelis.
Okay.
So maybe they got churros there.
Now holding the Stone of Power, you head with your companions back to Senelis to reconvene with the Queen of Summer and Rander Vestibule to figure out what comes next. As you come through the last of the trail from Thas Yaga into the large fields and back to hard earth beneath your feet, you are met with a familiar and horrifying sight. Standing before you is a reptile-faced mage in black robes and a massive Goliath barbarian standing by their side.
What?
And that's where we're ending the session.
Dun dun dun!
No!
Norway!